I titled this morning, Do You Remember? Do you remember when you first got to know Christ? I've been going to church all my life. When I was a little fellow, my mother used to be a pianist, and my granddaddy was a deacon there at Holiness Church here in Washington. And I went to church, you know, with them, of course. And then after getting married and become a Methodist, we raised our family going to church. But I was going to church. And that's about it. I mean, I would partake in, you know, whatever was going on, but it wasn't in here. I hadn't accepted Christ. And I knew of Christ. I knew there was a Christ. But I didn't know Christ. And whenever I got to know Christ, I realized that I really hadn't been living. I realized that there was something exciting going on, and it's here in the Bible. And I learned that you could actually live and have fun and still be a Christian. And I thought that, you know, you had to hear a lot of stuff. And, you know, you don't really live until you find it. And, you know, I had been looking all my life for something and didn't know what it was. And I left construction work a good many years back. And was driving a truck long distance. I was in a snowstorm, and I realized, for somehow or another, it dawned on me what I was looking for. And it was back home at church. And I gave up driving the truck, went back door to church with my wife. And actually, my wife is the pianist at the little church that we go to. I started going to church. And there's a young fellow that, at that time, had started preaching there. I think some of y'all might know him, George Potter. That was his first round of preaching. When George got there, I learned that I could pray for the pastor as well as the pastor prayed for me. But I was still just going to church. And I was still just looking. And one day, Ralph asked me to read scripture for him. I'm from Washington. Now, folks from Washington got a tendency to be a little bit on the rough side. They long fight and carry on. Now, when Ralph asked me about reading scripture, I thought long and hard about it. Because for me to step up on that platform and get behind what I call the holy desk, there was a lot going on with me on the inside of that. And I thought I was a tough boy. I've been in many fights. But I had wrestled with something that whole week. I was to give out when I finally got up there to read scripture. Because I'd go to sleep at night and I'd be dead asleep and my eyes would pop wide open worried about making a mistake. And, you know, it was sort of funny when it was over with. I really don't know if anybody could understood me. I don't know if anybody heard me. But I was stepping so high, it was like walking across the garden. I never even hit a road. I mean, I was stepping high. And I realized that day that something happened. And they didn't understand it for a while. You know, after that, I started being a little bit more attentive. And I noticed that things was changing. And I was seeing things a little different. And I wanted to do it more. So I decided to take a class. Whenever I did, I had to have a sermon. So I got thinking, how do I make a sermon? Well, I needed to talk about something I knew about. And I didn't know about anything. So I got to looking in the back of the Bible, and I found peace. And you know, there's a lot of places in the Bible that peace is used, that word peace. And I looked at a bunch of them, and I come across this scripture. And I got plumb excited, because that told me more about the Bible than I'd ever realized. I learned more about me, I learned more about everybody, because I realized that I had found peace. When I was a kid coming up, everybody used to walk around, they would hold up two fingers and holler, "Peace, brother." Well, I mean, you know, the hippies might have been on to something. Because that's what I was looking for, that peace, and I had found it. And ever since then, I've been finding more ways to talk about peace. Because, you know, there's a lot of versions of peace. There's worldly peace that we ain't found yet, but we're still looking for it, hopefully. And there's peace of God. And in John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto ye." And that's, you know, a sort of a common peace. That's peace with God, or peace of God. But you know, there's more peace than that, because you've got peace of God, peace with God, and peace through God. And I was learning this, and I found out that that's what was happening. Because in verse 10 it says, "If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." I got to looking at that, I found out that all those years I was an enemy. Because, you know, the Bible puts it plain and straight. Everything's either yes or no. Either you know or you don't. And I had not accepted Christ, so that meant that I was an enemy of Christ. And I did not like that feeling, just to know that I had been there. Because, you know, I mean, Christ is all we got. I mean, once you get past that, you had nothing. But I found out that I was an enemy of Christ, and I was thinking to myself, you know, that's the dumbest thing in the world anybody could ever do is be an enemy of Christ, because without him, I mean, you had nothing. Without him, how would you have a heart of peace? I've never heard anybody say, I've never heard a scientist or a doctor explain what makes a heartbeat. What makes it start? What makes it stop? I read a story about a doctor, a research man, who was an atheist. He was a bona fide card-toting atheist. I mean, he didn't believe one way or the other. But he started doing research on the eyeball. And he found that there were so many components that make the eye work. Makes it focus, makes it tell the difference in colors, makes it work. He said that he knew that there had to be something more than just an organ, orgasm. He said he learned that there was a God. But you know, I'm going on about peace. In Philippians it has that peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's, you know, that peace you find whenever you realize that you are not an enemy of God anymore. And, you know, this little bit right here, it almost explains everything you need to know about faith, how you got to be here. But, you know, I remember when I first started trying to read the Bible, I'd have as much luck reading the Bible as I would reading it in Spanish. I didn't understand nothing. But I finally found a Bible that I could read, and I found out that if you read it perfectly, it'll talk to you. But after finding out there that I have found peace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we also have access. Now, we have access to God at any time that we want. All we have to do is just ask Him to talk to Him. I mean, here we are. We are specks in the world. And all we have to do is to talk to the Creator and just say, "Lord." I mean, it ain't like a telephone. You ain't gonna get a busy signal. And there ain't no wire you got to worry about it anymore. It's all cordless. But, I mean, we have access to Him at any time. But we can talk to Him like we... And it's best if we do talk to Him like we know Him, like our best friend, and He needs to be. And, you know, we Now, if I let it seem like I'm nervous, I am. And I do come with a warning, if you hear me. That ain't nothing but my knees. I mean, because I respect the place that I'm standing right now. And, you know, I just try to do a good job for the Lord. But once we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And we're not only and also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now hope does not disappoint. Now this is like where rubber meets the road. I mean, it ain't like that we, as Christians, love trouble, because we have trouble. And you don't recognize trouble like you did before, because you're trying to do the right thing, and God gives you an opportunity to call on Him. And that's what it's all about. He's testing you. Because the faith that hadn't been tested is a faith that can't be trusted. Because, I mean, it's like gold. It goes through the refinery, but through fire they get out all the impurities. And that's what trouble and tribulations bring. He gives you an opportunity to approach it differently than you normally would. In other words, you approach it perfectly. If you have a problem, you don't run out there and take matters into your own hands. I've learned that the smartest thing that I ever did was learn to put my troubles in God's hand. Oh, He got big old hands. And He could handle it. And He knows what to do with it, where I don't. And hope produces, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Now that ain't us loving God, that's God loving us. He loved us first. And you know, with Him loving us first, if you ever stopped to think about it, if you would have stopped real fast, He might have run over you. Because God had been here the whole time, and all He ever wanted was you. He had been the shadow that you didn't see. He'd been that noise that you might have heard, you thought you heard, that you didn't see nothing. I mean, He's there. He's there for everybody. And He has been there. And whenever you stop and realize it, there's nothing more in this world that He wants than to see you accepting Him. To see you with your name in that book on the Lamb's Book of Life. And He's always been there. He has worked harder to get you than you have not being God. I mean, His whole time is trying to get you. And you know, some people, you know, get a little disappointed whenever you say, talk about there's a heaven, there's a hell. Because we all know there's a heaven, and that's where we're all trying to get to. This place here is like Ticketmaster. We just want the right ticket. We want to make sure we're on a one-way flight. And all it is taking time to accept Him. And that's the hardest thing in the world for me to ever do, because I know it all. And I think I know best about everything. And every now and again, it's like the people in the Old Testament reading that were being led to the Holy Land, to the Promised Land, they get a little thirsty. First thing they do is they go to complaining. And they want to take matters in their own hand. Well, that's with anybody here. But if you stop and take your time, and breathe, so to speak, and let Him have it, you won't get as thirsty. You won't be as lost in on that journey, because that's what life is a journey. Some journeys longer than others. And as we go on into our sermon here, I mean, into the scripture, Christ died in our place. 50 days. He did it all for us. And we didn't have to do anything. Because when he died on the cross, we died on the cross too. And he's speaking. He's bringing us our due value. But everything about this Bible is where God demonstrates his love for us. And all we have to do is accept him. And we have our peace. We have our joy and our hope. And you know, in order to have joy, you have to have peace. You can't have one without the other. And you know, it's a hard thing to understand sometimes that everything you're looking for is right there. All you have to do is open your eyes. And I make these notes all the time whenever I go somewhere. And I don't ever use them. And I get lost on where I'm at. I know Brother Ralph, I never did that. But we joy in God, and I think this is the most wonderful statements we have in Scripture. It means that right now, wherever you are, whatever your problems are, my friend, you can find joy and rejoice in God. Just think, rejoice because he has provided a salvation for us and is willing to save us sinners and bring us into his presence. And someday we will be. He has worked out a plan to save us because of his love for us. Isn't that enough to make you rejoice? Oh, a child of God should always have joy in his heart. He doesn't need to go around smiling like a Cheshire cat all the time. But certainly he should have a joyful heart. I love that song, you know, just let us praise the Lord. At the same time, you know, as Christians, we should have a joyful heart. We should have peace in our heart. And we should have a smile on our face. And the other day, I was at work. And I'm building a jail over there in Bristol right now. And they've taken over. They moved the inmates in, and we're already adding on to it. With everything going on, you talk about things happening that ain't never happened before. I found that day. And my buddy, the project manager, he heard me laughing. He won't know what was so funny. I told him, I said, I made a mistake. He said, what'd you do? I said, I prayed for patience. And he started laughing. He said, you did what? I says, I prayed for patience. I says, I ain't going to do that and come to work no more. I said, it's bad enough. No, but everybody don't speak the same language. I said, but now that these people, they moved the prisoners in, I said, but now I got the jail people to contend with. Every time something happens, my phone rings. He started laughing. He says, and you pray for patience? I said, brother, I said, when you pray for patience, I said, God's going to give you an opportunity to use patience. I said, I think he overdid it a little bit today. But we persevere. But through peace, I have found a joy in my life. I hope these words today might mean something. I hope it spoke to somebody. And that just goes to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house today. Lord, we know this is just a building and we know that we are the church. And Lord, we're here to serve you. And we thank you for this opportunity and we thank you, Lord, for your peace. We thank you, Lord, for the joy and hope that we have in you. In Jesus' most holy and precious name, amen.